and on the internet at wbai.org. The program you just heard, Labrish with Hapta Selassie, will be back next week at 2, following the work of the Midnight Ravers. It is 5 a.m. right here in New York City, and time for Back of the Book. Stay tuned.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I intuit that it is most probably in the vicinity of 5 a.m., and you're listening to all. This is our 37th anniversary program, Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things in this program, and you can find out a little bit more about that stuff by going up to my website at glib.com. That's glib.com. And you can look around up there. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left side of your screen. Click at the top of that where it says latest Back of the Book program links, and you'll get to the web page for this morning's radio program. This is our 149th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story in several different multiverses over the past week is... We remain at the depleted number of 121 followers on Twitter. Oh, it's still such a gigantic number. Every other universe trembles at the hugeness of that number. Speaking of Twitter, Leon Scum's social media platform X, formerly known as Twitter, is now collecting users' biometric information when it can get it. This is added to what other personal information he can scrape from us. X recently added the following bilge to its online privacy policy. Quote, "We may use the information we collect, to help train our machine learning or artificial intelligence models for the purposes outlined in this policy," unquote. What purposes might those be, you ask? Well, they're not saying what biometric information they'll be grabbing from users. X is also going to record information about users' level of education and work history. That data will be used to provide job recommendations, Leon Scum's mouthpieces say. These changes to the platform's information scraping practices will take effect at the end of this month. What job recommendations will they send to me? Maybe they'll want me to operate heavy equipment or fly airliners. A program note. We are preempted next week. This is part of the usual 52-week schedule that management has put out, and we have put this. This has been up on our website for months now, and basically we were preempted last week, but that was an emergency one. Okay, so we're on today. Today we'll be on next in 2 weeks. So that's life. So don't be thinking something really bad has happened to us if we don't show up again next week. It's just that we'll be back on September 30th. The next WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, October 11th at 7 p.m. That meeting will be held on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. We had an LSB meeting this past Wednesday night. There was a Q&A session that started at 6:30, half an hour before the LSB meeting was scheduled to begin. The general manager took up most of the time, and one listener asked a question. Well, maybe a second listener piped in a little bit, but it was really one person asking a question. Some people go on and on about having the listeners being in on everything. Some people on the LSB make noises about having the listeners, in general, figure out how to fix WBAI's finances. That's a fantasy. It's obviously just grandstanding by those local station board members, but they behave as if no one sees through them. And I do not think that having a lot of people who are not aware of the realities and intricacies of WBAI's finances hear some speeches will result in realistic actions. The Pacifica elections are going on, Pacifica and WBAI elections. If you contributed enough to become a member by June 30th, you'll get to vote, and enough is $25 by June 30th. We have gotten an email from management that says, quote, "Dear staff, please encourage your listeners who are WBAI listener members to vote in the LSB Local Election Board election. Only 3.5% of our listener members have voted." Renee, who is the National Election Supervisor, writes, quote, "As you see, WPFW and WBAI really need to push hard. Please encourage staff to announce that people vote. Remember, if one station doesn't meet quorum, this means we extend at all stations," unquote. So please encourage your listeners to vote and check their e-ballots, which came on Tuesday with a reminder each Tuesday. They can go to elections.pacifica.org for candidate statements and more information, unquote. All right, so vote already. If you don't, we're going to have to extend the election. It's going to cost like thousands of dollars more, which we can't afford. As usual, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, well, just called the CDC, I guess the P is always just left off. The CDC website isn't giving us all that much information about COVID-19 in America, although they're saying that total deaths in America are at 1,141,782, which means that 2,325 people have died of COVID-19 since our last program 2 weeks ago. That's 1,162 people a week dying, or 1,163 people, because it's an odd number. And that's well over the rates for the previous few weeks. We're hoping to get our COVID-19 booster EG.5 variant in time to avoid getting sick. And they're releasing it, and I think by a month from now, I think we'll probably both have gotten our boosters for this coming autumn when, oh boy, it could get kind of bad. The pandemic is not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on. We've both gotten our bivalent vaccinations and our bivalent booster shots. We are hearing that the new boosters are going to be ready as early as next month, and we're going to go get them when we can. And, yeah, we'll get those things and cross our fingers. I guess it's a ritual we've gone through for the past couple of years. We get the COVID-19 booster and the flu shot. I wonder if this year the VA is going to offer us the RSV shot. I don't know.
I don't know either, Paul, but I do know that the new COVID shot is actually available now.
Oh, okay.
Yep, as of Friday. So, although I tried to go online to one of our pharmacies and get an appointment and wasn't unable to do so. I don't know if it's me just not knowing how to work that website, or maybe they don't have things all connected up yet.
Yeah, I would say now is like a relative, yes, you know, time thing with a lot of these things. Now, I don't get out too much, but Pickles of the North is bravely going forth and putting on a mask and saying, hey, I'm going to go out and visit a friend. And you did that, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Lulu of the Far South and I went for a lovely walk. Kind of. We were out there walking in Central Park, and I think we were on the east side, and we could see something flying around in there, and it was hard to see. But then we looked on the sidewalk outside the park, and there were all these horrible bugs. And I think if you live in any of the 14 states where this is going on now, you're going to know what I'm talking about. It's the dreaded spotted lanternfly, the spotted lanternfly. Oh, so bad. Where the hell did these damn flies come from? Well, they're an invasive species from Asia. They came in from China on a shipment of stone in 2012. Now, how is that possible? Well, these bugs can lay from 50 to 100 eggs at a time, and they have this sticky stuff. And usually they stick them to the tree, but they can stick them to things like stone. And they did. And it came over. And then they were first discovered in Pennsylvania in 2014. So 2 years later, they were there. And then in August of 2020, they found them in Staten Island. Now they're in 14 states, at least. Unfortunately, their preferred food primarily is the ailanthus tree, which makes sense, because that tree is from China.
And it's another invasive species, by the way.
However, they also like to suck the sap out of more than 70 plants, including grapevine, hops, maple, walnut, and fruit trees. I got a lot of this information from the New York State Department of Agriculture website. This is very bad for anybody who has orchards. It's not good for the farmers. Not only do they suck the sap out of all those plants and weaken them, end up having laying lots and lots of eggs. Their excrement is called honeydew. Doesn't that sound lovely? Ah, honeydew, because it smells sweet. It attracts other insects, which is not so good. And when they poop and it falls on plants, it messes with those plants and it makes this kind of sooty mold possible to grow on those plants. And so this is really horrible. You get it from both ends with this bug. So do they have any natural predators? Not here. There's two kinds of wasps that are their natural predators. The people at the New York State Department of Agriculture are saying, well, you know, we can't just introduce two invasive species of wasps, because you know how well that has worked in the past to introduce, have one species you've got there that's not indigenous, and then you bring in another. No, that's not good.
Besides which, the wasps are going to sting us directly.
Well, it's not good. So now, something does kill the eggs. You have to have a temperature of minus 25 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, that's not going to happen in a lot of places. That's not even going to happen, say, across the border in Quebec, where the maple trees are. I mean, I don't know if they've gotten up there yet, but
they will.
They will. So I saw one guy on TV, and he had what I guess is being used now. The preferred method of getting rid of them was to stomp on them when you saw them. And believe you me, I was stomping on them, because I saw a whole bunch of them on the sidewalk in the 50s. And I was like, oh, my God. But, you know, that's not going to help very much, although it is personally satisfying. I really don't go in for, like, the killing of Mother Nature's creatures, but I make an exception for this and palmetto bugs. Anyway, the guy I saw on TV, he had like a special vacuum, and he'd vacuum the bugs right off the tree, sucks them in there, and they're in a big chamber, a clear chamber that he can see. And then he puts in a kind of aerosol alcohol, just rubbing alcohol, and that kills them. So this may become a new job for people. I mean, that I think that would be kind of satisfying to go around to parks or forests and, you know, vacuum up these bugs and get rid of them. I mean, if I were younger, I think that would be something I would apply to do if they were offering it. Because, you know, we really want to get rid of these things because they're gonna kill a whole bunch of trees, different kinds of trees. I mean, it's really awful. But in our fast-paced world, this is what happens all the time. You've got life going from one continent to another continent, and oh, boy.
And it's getting warmer, so that's better for them.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to see other species coming up here that we don't like, too.
Yeah. Well, with the lanternfly, they're wondering if perhaps some of the birds will eat some of them. And it's I think, like, the titmouse has eaten some, but... Who
Imagine
knows?
Imagine the chimney swifts will go after them.
I hope so. Anyway, that's my spotted lantern bug report.
Well, thank you for that big bug report, my dear.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
We were talking about Donnie Bonespur Trump getting arrested, and he was listed as being 6 foot 3 inches tall and weighing 215 pounds at that time. However, it has now been confirmed what we suspected, that he had his people supply those numbers. His people filled out the arrest form, and they gave him all that flattery in there. I'm sure that if you work for Trump, the thing you'd have to do is flatter him all the time. Really, it's like being near some old potentate of a couple thousand years ago where you got to bow and scrape to him all the time and sometimes refer to him as a god. I guess that's how it really is if you work for this creep. So... I still say that they should weigh him. Weigh Trump. And others have found his 215-pound weight to be highly unlikely. In the Daily News, they note, quote, "The idea that the 77-year-old politician is the same height and weight Muhammad Ali was when he battled Joe Frazier in 1971's Fight of the Century has a lot of people questioning the tale of the tape," unquote. People who have a lot to do with boxing found Trump's weight declaration laughable because, of course, in boxing, weight matters and the divisions are set in weight. You have heavyweight, welterweight, lightweight, flyweight, and I think there might be a couple of other weights in there. So there are weight divisions in boxing, and they look at each other, and if you have a boxer who's going in against a guy who has more weight than he should, you're going to really, you know, look at that and be able to say, no, that guy weighs too much. He can't fight. He has to go up one and fight the heavyweights. Of course, if you're a heavyweight, you can weigh as much as you like. So they're very learned in this area of looking at a man's body and saying, yeah, he weighs about this, he weighs about that, he's in this weight category. And they look at Trump and say, 215? And some of Trump's supporters are getting theirs. An organizer of the so-called Proud Boys group, Joseph Biggs, was sentenced to 17 years in prison for his part in Trump's insurrection on January 6, 2021. During sentencing, U.S. District Judge Timothy J. Kelly said, quote, "That day broke our tradition of peaceful transfer of power. We don't have it anymore," unquote. And he's right. They broke a very important thing for America that day. Another insurrectionist from that group, Zachary Rail, who pepper sprayed police and later lied about it on the stand, was sentenced to 15 years in prison. Now, these guys are getting sentences that are only about half what is being recommended. So they're getting off lightly, which I don't like. I think they should get the full thing, put them all in for 20, 35 years, whatever the max is, because they have done an extremely bad thing to America. And it's permanent. We can never say we have a peaceful transfer of power all the time. Meanwhile, one of these Proud Boy scumbags is on the lam since getting convicted. And we certainly hope they find him. He didn't show up for sentencing, and he's in the wind somewhere. Oh, we hope they find him. Meanwhile, Trump's former lawyer and former lousy mayor of New York City, Rudy Giuliani, has been refusing to comply with court orders to cough up evidence in the defamation case brought against him by Ms. Shay Moss and her mother, Ms. Ruby Freeman. So, federal judge Beryl Howell issued a default judgment against Giuliani. So, he's guilty. He did it. And now there's going to be a trial to determine how much Giuliani must pay in damages to Ms. Freeman and Ms. Moss. I wonder if Rudy Giuliani is going to go on the lam, too. That would be amusing, having that bumbling fool going on the lam. And, you know, he has to watch out. He might run into some underworld people who may remember him from years ago when he was making believe he was on the other side of the law. Ah, Rudy, I hope you go to prison one day. But right now, I hope whatever little money your wife has left you gets taken away, and he could end up living in the New York City shelter system. Because what the hell? He didn't like it then. Now he can not like it from the other side. Well, we said goodbye to the middle third early this month. And now we're about to say goodbye to the summer season as well. Summer's my favorite season of them all. Next Saturday morning, the autumnal equinox will occur. It'll happen on September 23rd, 2023 at 2:50 a.m. Eastern Time. That's 10 minutes before 3 o'clock next Saturday morning. We're preempted next Saturday morning, so this is our last chance to say goodbye to summer. Sorry to hear it go, and here is one of our traditions.
Summer's almost gone. Summer's almost gone. When the summer's gone, morning found us calmly unaware. Noon burned gold into our hair. At night, see? summer's almost gone. Summer's almost gone. We had some good times, but they're gone. The winter's coming on. Summer's almost gone.
We're celebrating the 37th anniversary of this radio program this morning. Back of the Book first aired on September 8th, 1986. And since we got preempted for a special emergency on-air fundraiser last week when we'd planned to celebrate this annual milestone, we're doing it this week. We've covered a lot of ground on this program in 37 years. A program director in 1986 had the brilliant idea of making shows alternate with each other. So we were on for 2 hours every other week. The program aired from 1 to 3 a.m. on alternate Sunday nights, Monday mornings. I did the program all alone for some years. And then Radio's Pickles of the North and I met. She'd been doing another program with some other folks at BAI late in the last century, and then she became my co-host. Glad to have you here, my dear.
Glad to be here, my dear.
This program has had its bumps in the past 37 years. We've had people threatening to take us off the air, we've had people blasting us, and we've also had people who really liked this radio program. Back when we were on from 1 to 3 a.m., we used to raise more money than other overnight radio programs, and even some daytime programs. In 2010, certain interim management personnel here moved us to this 5 a.m. time slot on Saturday mornings. I must say, I do not now, and I never have, fathomed people getting up so early on a Saturday morning. But you're all welcome to listen, the few of you who do listen. I'm not sure, but we may have more people listening to our archived programs than we have listening to us live. So we've really started our 38th year now. Here's the first few minutes of the very first Back of the Book radio program.
Well, that was sudden, so this must be WBAI New York.
I know we're not in Kansas.
Good morning. This is WBAI New York, and the program you're listening to is Back of the Book. And my name is R. Paul Martin, and this is the very, very first Back of the Book. This is a new program here on WBAI. And, well, as I see things here, we're going to be pitching a little while. Yes, if you like the 5 minutes of programming I've given you, if you want to pledge money for all the complete 5 minutes here, you can call the... However, we'll be getting to that a little bit later in a more serious vein, because apparently we have a matching fund, and we really should do something about that to keep the station afloat, so to speak, and... It will be very helpful for the station to get some money later because I'm going to have to sue them because I just tripped over some of the garbage in Master Control and broke my ankle. Anyway, hello, I'm R. Paul Martin, and this is Back of the Book. And this is a new live radio program, and we'll be in here on a bi-weekly basis, although for September, bi-weekly seems to be a little discombobulated here, I don't know. But... yeah, we'll be here this week and next week, and the schedule's going to be a little strange for a while, but it'll get regular in October. Okay, and so what we're going to be doing here is we're going to be playing some music. We're going to be talking to you. I had planned on some listener phone calls. I think we'll be getting to that sort of really late in the program if we get to that. I have been informed that there may be a problem with some of the telephones. I'm not sure, you know, some of the telephones we use to get on the air with. I'm not sure about that, and you may get to help me test that out in a matter of an hour or so or something like that. Okay. I'll tell you a small bit about myself, what I think this is all going to be about, and after that we'll get on with what this is. I've been doing programming here at WBAI for almost 5 years, and I've been a producer on a series called Gay Rap, and I was executive producer, which sounds like a big deal but isn't, in a program called Gay New York. And I've done various specials and other things, and some people have heard me on the air with other folks and doing fill-ins and screaming in the background on occasion, stuff like that, and being screamed at in the background on occasion. And what we're going to be doing here is just sort of kicking back at this hour, because I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of intense interest in building the Tower of Babel at this particular hour of the morning, and or this late at night, depending on what time you got up at, I suppose. I really have this thing about if it's after midnight, it's the next day. However, by WBAI time and TV Guide time, it is still Sunday night, which is always extraordinarily confusing to me. Anyway, okay, I have various musical interests, and you'll just get to know what those are. At the outset, let me say, I claim absolutely no expertise in any area of music. I just like some music, and that's about as far as it goes. I don't try to analyze it to death. I've never gone to school for years to figure out arpeggiation, which is a word I learned on this air only an hour ago. Arpeggiation. I never heard of that before in my life. And we'll be bringing in various things at various times into this program. What we're going to do right now is we're going to hear from one of my favorite groups. You heard the intro. That was some Heart. Well, we're about to get some more Heart, after which I'm going to read a very, 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 very short story. It's about a page and a half long. And then we're going to talk about that a bit. And then I guess we will get into pitching after that. When we're done with pitching, we'll do a whole lot of other stuff. Okay, so, well, let's get on with the magic.
And we have a tradition on our anniversary radio programs. It's something we started out with on the very first program. It was an introduction, so to speak. And it still says something or other about this radio program. And we're going to continue that tradition right now. Yes, we're going to read Before the Law by Franz Kafka. Before the law. Before the law stands a doorkeeper. To this doorkeeper there comes a man from the country and prays for admittance to the law. But the doorkeeper says that he cannot grant admittance at the moment. The man thinks it over and then asks if he will be allowed in later.
It is possible, says the doorkeeper, but not at the moment.
Since the gate stands open, as usual, and the doorkeeper steps to one side, the man stoops to peer through the gateway into the interior. Observing that, the doorkeeper laughs and says,
If you are so drawn to it, just try to go in despite my veto. But take note, I am powerful, and I am only the least of the doorkeepers. From hall to hall there is one doorkeeper after another, each more powerful than the last. The third doorkeeper is already so terrible that even I cannot bear to look at him.
These are difficulties the man from the country has not expected. The law, he thinks, should surely be accessible at all times and to everyone. But as he now takes a closer look at the doorkeeper in his fur coat with his big, sharp nose and long, thin, black Tartar beard, he decides that it is better to wait until he gets permission to enter. The doorkeeper gives him a stool and lets him sit down at one side of the door. There he sits for days and years. He makes many attempts to be admitted, and wearies the doorkeeper by his importunity. The doorkeeper frequently has little interviews with him, asking him questions about his home and many other things, but the questions are put indifferently, as great lords put them, and always finish with the statement that he cannot be let in yet. The man, who has furnished himself with many things for his journey, sacrifices all he has, however valuable, to bribe the doorkeeper. The doorkeeper accepts everything, but always with the remark, "I am only taking it to keep you from thinking you have omitted anything." During these many years, the man fixes his attention almost continuously on the doorkeeper. He forgets the other doorkeepers, and this first one seems to him the sole obstacle preventing access to the law. He curses his bad luck in his early years boldly and loudly. Later, as he grows old, he only grumbles to himself. He becomes childish, and since, in his years-long contemplation of the doorkeeper, he has come to know even the fleas in his fur collar, he begs the fleas as well to help him and to change the doorkeeper's mind. At length, his eyesight begins to fail, and he does not know whether the world is really darker or whether his eyes are only deceiving him. Yet, in his darkness, he is now aware of a radiance that streams inextinguishably from the gateway of the law. Now he has not very long to live. Before he dies, all his experiences in these long years gather themselves in his head to one point, a question he has not yet asked the doorkeeper. He waves him nearer, since he can no longer raise his stiffening body. The doorkeeper, who has to bend low toward him, for the difference in height between them has altered much to the man's disadvantage.
"What do you want to know now?" asks the doorkeeper. "You are insatiable."
"Everyone strives to reach the law," says the man. "So how does it happen that for all these many years, no one but myself has ever begged for admittance?" The doorkeeper recognizes that the man has reached his end, and, to let his failing senses catch the words, roars in his ear,
"No one else could ever be admitted here, since this gate was made only for you. I am now going to shut it."
And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. And as mentioned earlier, Leon Scum is going to be posting job recommendations based on the data he scrapes from us all, including, I don't know, maybe the stuff he scrapes from underneath our fingernails, I'm not sure. Here's one job that X may recommend for me. The British company Durex is looking to hire some condom testers. Durex posted an ad on Instagram offering the equivalent of a voucher for not that much money to the 50 applicants it chooses at random to sample its, quote, thinnest condom to date, unquote, called the Durex Nude. In exchange, recipients will submit a review of the product that's at least 50 words long. Ooh, 50 whole words. So, with their condoms, length does matter. This job offer ends on September 21st. and Durex's competition is open only to residents of the United Kingdom who are 18 or older. Yeah, they don't want Americans to test their scumbags. Americans have got such big wieners, we'd break their puny Brexited rubbers. Americans have more energetic orgasms than Brits do. We'd blast through their thin French letters. Meanwhile, they probably can't compete with our Coney Island whitefish. But I know that we used to have some listeners in England. If any of them are still listening, maybe one of them would benefit from this job offer. So I've been talking about how I don't get out much, and we only get me out of here usually to go to the doctors, to go to the VA hospital, except for once in 2021 when we just, in the midst of the whole pandemic, went to Coney Island for the fun of it. Well, that was the last time I did that. And, oh boy, you've heard of Pickles of the North's latest adventure here with the spotted
lantern bug.
That's the goddamn things. And you've heard of all that. Well, we got me out this past week, but it was to go to the doctors. Yeah, we went to the eye clinic at the VA hospital, and, you know, they do these things annually. You're supposed to show up annually. And so we went there, and I was ready this time. I wrote myself stuff out. I had questions. I had complaints. And we're going to really talk to you folks about some stuff. And one of the things is, last time when I got new glasses, they didn't seem to be any better than the previous glasses. They didn't make it easier to read. This is mostly about the reading glasses. I couldn't read more. And, you know, I've been having for years now difficulty reading because my eyes like fade. I can't focus, stay focused on it. And sometimes things just get kind of fuzzy and I have to blink and move things around. And it's been a bit of a chore for all this time. And I've said, gee whiz. And also I have my cataracts. And I can sometimes see the cataracts moving across. I'll look at something and I'll see it fairly clearly. And then I will see the edge of something transparent moving across my field of vision. And I said, there's my cataract, but it doesn't have a big effect, I think. But there's that. So we go in there and I first say, look, we got the reading glasses last time, and they didn't do much. They just did the same basic kind of thing here. And so I saw this doctor there, and he said, oh, yeah, well, we'll see what's going on. And I also told him at the start of it, we're going to have to get me glasses, so don't dilate me right away. 1 year, we went in there, and the intern said, okay, come here. And she dilated me right away, and I couldn't see about getting glasses because you can't test anything when the person's dilated. But she was an intern and she was hot to do that, so she forgot about any other examination and blasted away. So I had to come back and we couldn't get an appointment, I think, for a month or two. So Jesus Christ. And so we had to go through all sorts of issues then. So I tell him about this and I tell him about things. I told him about an interesting phenomenon we'd had in the past year or so where I was talking to Pickles and we had the door to the apartment open and we're looking out onto the hallway of the apartment building. And the hallway, the floor of it is like one of these things. A lot of apartment buildings have this. It looks like it's made to look like there's gravel that's been laid down. But in fact, it's just some sort of thing they pour in there and they just load it in and it looks that way. But it's just a kind of, I guess it's a ceramic thing or another. It's something you see in New York City apartments all the time. And this building was built during the Depression, so we had that sort of stuff. So I'm talking to Pickles, and the lighting isn't the best because they scrimp on the lighting here. And we're talking, and I'm looking at the floor, and it looks like it's kind of waving. Now, I know the floor itself isn't moving, but it looks as if there's a heat haze. You know, when you look at something hot in the distance and it wiggles around because the light is being diffracted by hotter air in the heat, or else like there's flowing water over the floor and it's going in one direction. I said, wow, you don't see this, do you? She doesn't see it. And I'm looking at it, and I blink, and I look, and I blink again, and it's still there, and it won't go away. I look around in the apartment a little bit. We're at the door. I look, and nothing else is doing anything like that. And I look down, and the floor is still moving as if there's heat haze in it. So I told him about this. He said, uh-huh. So he tests my eyes, and he has me reading things and all of this, and, you know, count the numbers, and what does it say there? Letters, numbers, can you read this? Can you read that? Read the smallest piece on this thing that you can see. And we go through all of this, and we do the usual things, and he dilates me, and he looks in the eye with that thing that half blinds you. And he goes through all of that. And then he says, okay, we're going to go in the other room, and we'll take a photograph. And if necessary, we'll come back here. Otherwise, you're done. So we go in the other room, and there is a machine in there. And you put your chin on one thing, and he takes a picture of your eyes. He says, open your eyes wide, concentrate on the green cross, and it then you can see that there's a line going through it, and it scans you. Then you put your chin like a couple of inches to the other side so it gets the other eye, and it does the same thing there. And so he's there, and so I figure, okay, we're about done here. So, and he says, all right, we're going to go back in the office. I said, uh-huh. And so he says, wait a second, and he gets data. And what he's doing is he's putting the photographs he's taken, he's putting them into the – he's saving them into the network. We go into the office, and he brings them up, and he shows me the pictures. This is a special kind of camera thing they've got set up. And he shows me one eye. Then he shows me the other eye. And he says, you see this, these bright white lines that are wiggly? Well, that's age-related macular degeneration of the dry type. And you got it. And I'm saying, ah, oh, I know this is a bad thing. Macular degeneration is bad. And now I'm being told, I've got it. Ah. Oh. So, I mean, basically, he explained to me what happens is the retina, of course, is doing things constantly as long as you're seeing. And like everything else, all cells, it produces waste material. And it goes down in back of the retina. And at the very back of the eyeball, it accumulates and it should be taken out and slowly removed and go into your blood. And I don't know if it just comes out in maybe urine or if it goes into the spleen and then gets dealt with there. One way or another, it's dealt with. But sometimes it doesn't get moved out, and it stays there. And it accumulates, and it starts forming. It sort of looks like little mountain chains. It's waving in and of itself. That's what makes the wavy stuff happen, because it's sort of interfering with your retina. I mean, your retina is not made of concrete. Your retina is this very, very thin tissue. And if you have stuff in back of it that's built up, it's bending the retina. So he showed me this, and I said, oh. And I was saying, oh, this is not the visit I had expected. And he's telling me, well, part of your vision problem is your cataracts. But he says they're only about, on a scale of 1 to 10, they're about a 2, which, I don't know, they've previously been telling me for years that it's been at a 3. But I don't know. Turns out he's a resident, and I've been seeing interns for years. And so maybe he's right. I don't know. But anyway, it's at a low level where they're not going to operate on my cataracts, even though they get in the way sometimes. But macular degeneration, age-related macular degeneration, because I'm an old fart, that's serious. And that will do bad things to you, because eventually that crap that's building up at the back of your retina builds up enough so that it starts poking through the retina and stuff bleeds. And, oh, man, that will make a mess and you're not going to read anymore. Basically, the most sensitive part of your eyeball on your retina gets destroyed. So this is a fun new thing we ran into. And I got this news yesterday. We're recording this on Friday. I got this news on Thursday. And one of the things we may have to do is I may have to change my diet. I may have to eat green leafy vegetables. Oh, I don't want to do that. And corn. I said, oh, are corn chips okay? No, corn. All right. And so, yeah, this is a new thing for me. Now I've got something else going wrong with me. I already have a hard time reading, at least for any length of time. And it's because maybe it's a combination of the cataracts and the macular degeneration I've got. But the thing is, it's already difficult to read. If it gets worse, I'm not going to be able to read anymore, which is a major thing I do. I'm reading constantly every day. And so, yeah, this is going to change my life here. They gave us some pills. And today the doctor called us. They've never done this before. They called us and said, well, the pills we sent you, the pills the VA sent you, are lacking some of the stuff you need. So you might want to go out and buy commercial products to try and treat this particular thing. Because I think the deal is they can't get rid of what's already happened, but they can try and make it so that from now on, your eyeball clears out the crap that will build up more. And so, oh boy. So that's another great VA thing. They're giving us inferior pills to treat age-related macular degeneration. So there we go. I guess I'm off on a new adventure, and we'll see if I can read anything in future radio programs. At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. Chugga, chugga, chugga. Here's the Back of the Book BAI pitching train. And we're coming on in here and we're saying, oh my, we sure as hell want to pitch here. Oh, but we're running out of time. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number. We need to raise money. Again, there's a matching fund that we have to match. We've been given some amount of money by a generous major donor. And if we can manage to match that, we will be able to pay off the rent on 388 Atlantic Avenue, which is where BAI studios are. So, oh, please help us out. Help us out. 1-212-209-2950 is the number to call. Yes, call 1-212-209-2950. BAI Buddies now have a minimum of $10, by the way. BAI Buddy is our name for our sustaining membership where you donate monthly. And you call up 1-212-209-2950, say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And you tell them how much you'd like to donate per month. It could be $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, or more if you can. And you do that and you tell them the number of your debit card or credit card, and you tell them what day of the month you want to be billed, when you want to be charged for it, and that'll make it more convenient for you. And, you know, that'll help us out. BAI needs help. As I said, a major donor has helped with the rent at WBAI Studios somewhere in downtown Brooklyn, but there's a matching fund attached to that. So your pledge can help to make the match and get us the dough that the major donor is contributing. That matching fund, in a way, doubles your donation. 1-212-209-2950. It will pay the rent, get us current with our rent at our magical studios somewhere in downtown Brooklyn. And, oh boy, we need you to help us out here. We want to say thanks to Seth, our friend Seth, Tony, and Bettina. They've all pledged. Would you pledge too? You can call the same number, 1-212-209-2950. If you just want to make a one-time donation, you can do that too. Please, please help us out. Call that number and pledge now. That's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Coming up next is
Exploration with Dr. Michio Kaku.
We're preempted next week. We're back on September 30th. Take care of yourselves. And above all, remember what that saying goodbye to summer and hoping he doesn't really have to eat vegetables, Dormouse said.
The next WBAI Advisory Board meeting will be held on Sunday, September 17th at 1 p.m. The meeting will be held by teleconference. The call number is 619-309-1058, and the PIN number is 641-711. Everyone is welcome to call in and join the meeting. Once again, the call-in number is 619-309-1058, and the PIN number is 641-711. It's a way to show support for this great station. Thank you.
WBAI's election balloting period has started, and you can vote through September 30th, 11:59 p.m. Look out for a link to your e-ballot in the form of an email from invitations@mail.electionbuddy.com with the subject line, Vote Now, Pacifica Foundation, Inc., 2023 Local Station Elections. You may also receive a text message with a link to your e-ballot. If you need to request a new ballot, file a ballot request form by visiting elections.pacifica.org. If you do not have access to the internet, please leave a voicemail on 213-635-9363. Please only file one request, as multiple requests will slow down the processing time. It's 99.5 FM WBAI in New York and online at WBAI.org.
Tune in for WBAI Playhouse Sundays at noon, right here over listener-sponsored WBAI in New York.
I think you're exaggerating the situation.
If anything, I'm underplaying it.
This week, Henrik Ibsen's Enemy of the People. It's a classic play with a timeless message. Will a small town put its well-being and its health over profit?
Once the summer comes, it's going to be a hotbed of disease.
The established water supply to the baths is now a fact and must be treated as such. I expect the committee can be persuaded to make a few gradual improvements.
No, 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 Peter, it's got to be a complete overhaul.
That's Henrik Ibsen's Enemy of the People, right here on listener-sponsored WBAI New
Peter,
York at
up.
Noon
hush.
On oh, Sunday, don't September that. 17th.
You know me. I can't play along with lies.
Lies?
Council propaganda, veiling the facts.
But I just told you I'm not convinced there's actual danger.
Don't tell me to stop. Tell the rain not to drop. Tell me everything I'm not. Don't tell me to stop.
Hi, this is Liz Wright. You're listening to W.